Good morning. Before I introduce our speaker, I was just thinking during that last song that we sang of the incredible scales of the glories of God. Paul Maxwell yesterday, one of our emeritus members, just turned 101 yesterday, which we all say, "Woo, yeah, amazing." And 10,000 years from now, we will still be singing the praises of God. It's amazing. We give God praise for both. So happy birthday, Paul. Well, today the word will be brought to us by Bob Clifford. Many of you know Bob and his wife, Veronique, and their son, Tim, is with us as well. Bob and Veronique are church planters in Plaisir, France. Is that French for pleasure? Yeah. The town is called Pleasure. All right. I don't know French, so don't read too much into that. But Bob and Veronique are church planters there, and you've been church planters there for more than 20 years. We had the privilege of hearing more about their work there, and it's just a privilege that our church gets to partner with such endeavors in the world to not only support missionaries, but to support church planters where the gospel once was and is now, in many cases, dry and dead on the vine. And yet new life is coming to France. Plaisir is right outside of Paris, in that area of the world through the work of Bob and Veronique over the years. Perhaps many times when they didn't realize that God was working, when they were tired and exhausted, God was working. God has been working, and he will continue to work. So it is a great privilege to have Bob come today and share the word with us from Psalm 3. Will you please come, Bob?
Bonjour. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for laboring for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our mission that we work with exists to help churches start churches where there are none. And we want to thank you for being part of Christ's victory eternally, in parts, especially in France. We're doing the video.
Hello, we're Bob and Veronique. Hello, we're Bob and Veronique Clifford, serving at the Church Start at Plaisir, France. We began the year with a good cleaning so children and families could come after the lockdown. Then we joined all the families of the church for a spiritual retreat to see how we might love our neighbors in the town. After a special night of praising God and thanking Him, the church set out special projects of loving our neighbors through a prison ministry, refugees, or even helping rebuild devastated countries. Those seeking to work with prison ministries met with a chaplain in order to be debriefed. We seek to leave a healthy church, obedient to Jesus Christ. For this, we seek to be obedient to the Word of God, keeping the gospel of Jesus Christ at the center. We are thankful for the music ministry, which presents God's Word through song, in which Veronique participates. Having outgrown our facility, we brought a nearby church for the Christmas program, welcoming guests and presenting the good news of Jesus our Savior. Jonathan Rumi met with French media on the Champs-Élysées and presented the French translation of The Chosen, which was aired free over Christmas. Four of our youth were committed to follow Jesus Christ through baptism. Veronique and I are seeking to encourage young adults. Veronique is transferring the ministry of the Protestant Family Association. They have lovingly served Afghanistan refugee families and presented conferences on ecological awareness in the town, organized a family festival at the local park in order to love, rejoice, and welcome families from the town. The high school and middle school ministries have been a blessing. Musicians organized a special concert to celebrate and tell the gospel to new families through music and through testimonies. While continuing to look for a larger hall and one to purchase, the church has gone to an internet ministry and to two worship services. Please pray with us for the future elder and pastoral leadership team. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and expand his kingdom to the people of France through the Pleasure Church.
We have a tremendous challenge for us in this decade. COVID, wars in Europe and international threats, economical challenge. How are you doing? In the psalm that I was asked to share with you this morning, God says, and David learns, and he, my prayer is that he will teach us. Salvation comes. It comes. It comes from the Lord. And there is good news, and God is committed to teaching his people that. David learned this when he was on the line for his life. His own son had plotted revolt and rebellion and was going to take the kingdom, but also the king out. And so David was promised, because he had let down God and his function, violence will never leave your family again because you despised me and took Uriah's wife. It took a while for David to kind of get this. And so David finally comes and says to God, "Oh God, give me grace in accordance with your goodness and in accordance with your great compassion, erase my transgressions." In my heart, which isn't good, was born with difficulties to follow you, forgive and cleanse me. And then God gives him this promise. Is it yours? What a beautiful promise. Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is taken away and whose sin is forgiven. And then David adds, this is how every faithful person can pray to you at the right time if great waters overflow. We've got great waters coming at us, overflowing. We might feel that we're just trying to keep our head above the water. If great waters overflow, says David, they will not overcome him. That's the end of this psalm. Happy is the person who is forgiven, who comes to God and knows that God is with him. And if great waters this morning are overflowing, seem to be coming at you, or we're just trying to keep our head above the water, or grasping for air for ourselves, for our families, for our nation, for the world, God says they will not overtake the person who finds his peace in him and his forgiveness in him. If that's your experience, there's hope. And that's my prayer, and I think God's desire for each one of his people this morning, that we would be happy, blessed, even if there be great problems. And if that's your starting point with David, we can again stand and move forward in spite of any circumstances. Now, David's son is mentioned here. David's son was super built and super handsome, and he had this head of hair that he was really, really, really proud of. And he said, you know, the king's crown would look really good right here. So Absalom comes and gets a whole bunch of Israel's nation coming after the king. And the next step is the king says, I'm out of here. He leaves. Got no choice. So he's out, and on his way out, David, who's recognized his errors and says that happy is the one who's forgiven. If the great waters flow coming at him, he can't stand. And then David puts everything back on the line and he says, if the Lord's favorable to me, he'll bring me back. Everything right there. If the Lord is favorable to me, he will bring me back. If on the other hand he declares, I no longer take pleasure in you, let him treat me as he wants. And then these three things that David learns in the desert. Salvation comes from the Lord. How many are my enemies? He's realistic. It's not Pollyanna. It's not everything's good in the kingdom. It's not. Second, but you, O Lord. And that's the turning point. If we are with God and God is with you as his people, the but you, O God, O Lord, comes and changes your life. And third, David says, I cry out to the Lord. And then he gives it all back. And now he's asking God. Now he's working with God. And now he's ready. So there's a progression here. And it starts with, O Lord, how many are my enemies? Now, if we look at our current day and our situations and our difficulties or troubles in our families or economics or the world, I hope that we can say there are enemies, there are problems. And David started there. That's where he started. It's a realistic inventory. He's the king. He's on the run. He's out of here in the desert. His own son and all of Israel is chasing him to kill him and take his kingdom. So he starts with, O Lord, how many are my problems? He doesn't start with my problems. He starts with, O Lord. It's his Lord. He knows that. So he comes to him. And then he adds, many, 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 three times are my problems. And they're rising up, those many, 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 they're rising up because they want to crush me. They want to take me out. And then he says, and they're saying to my soul, there's no hope. We got him. And when your soul cannot fight, that's where David is at. He's cooked. So who is talking to your soul? And who are you listening to? And if we only listen to our problems or our enemies, or we try to shut them out, we're cooked. Because there are many, many, many. And we may feel that God is distant, that he doesn't respond, that he's unable or unwilling to help us, or we're too unworthy. And when troubles strike, we can turn from God or we can turn to God. So who's talking to your soul? And what are you hearing? David adds, but you, O God. That's what he heard from the Lord when he said, my sins are forgiven. You've erased them. And if the floods come at me, blessed is that man or woman, they can stand. And so David comes back to what he knows of God. But you, O Lord, are. Ephesians 2, when there's the but you, O Lord, that comes back and somebody else is talking to you, the Lord is coming down and he's talking into our circumstances and into our problems and into our difficulties and our many, many enemies that are rising up and saying to our soul, there's no hope. And then God says, but I'm here. I'm for you. And but you, O Lord. And those are some of the most beautiful words of the Bible. But you, O Lord. Apostle Paul said something like this. All of us, our behavior was dictated by our instincts and our passions, and we allowed ourselves to be blindly governed by the impulses of our natural being, whatever our corrupt thoughts and imagination desired, we did. For we were as if obliged to yield to all the whims of our human nature. We were by nature the object of God's wrath, but God. But God doesn't stop there. So we can be in contact with our hearts and the reality around us and hear the voice of God say, but God, I'm there. But God, being so rich in goodness, when we were still plunged into death because of our disobedience, he lovingly took care of us and led us to a new life by communicating to us the very life of Christ. But you, O Lord, are a shield. Now, a shield gives space, gives a breather, a rest. And David in the desert and we in the deserts of life, when we come to God, may he be your shield. May he be the one, as Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And as we come, and it's my experience, as I come sometimes in the afternoon in the weary days and I open the Psalms and I kind of have this wrestling match with my own heart and my own soul, and I give the problems and the anguishes and the difficulties back to God, and I want him to deal with them. And he wins in grace and love and goodness and gives me peace and rest and strength and the ability to stand and go back and to fight again. He's a shield. He gives you a break. He gives you rest. David says also, he's my glory. And David had fled. He left the ark back in Jerusalem, but he still remembers that God's glory comes and shows up. And Moses in the desert was led by this cloud of God's glory, and God of glory was David's glory in the desert, even without the ark. So where's our glory? What are we trusting in? Absalom, he had this head of hair. Pretty cool. And super bod. So he comes in, he says, gonna take over. Not David. David says, if God wants, I'll bring me back. Otherwise, it's useless. And third, God is the lifter of my head. He's the one who just, I messed up, and all Israel knows, David knows, his own son is after him. And God, he put things back in order with God first, and God is the one who's going to lift him up, not accuse him. The gospel is good news. And we can believe it, and we can hear it, and we can announce it. So this morning, who's the lifter of your head? Where do you try go to find rest? Is it sufficient? Will you find a deep rest better than what you can find in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and my sins and rose to give us peace eternally? Or the glory? In what are we trusting? What will really pull us through? What will have the power and the strength to carry us when the deep waters flow? And then David cries out. He's turned to God. He remembers who God is. And then he cries out. Now, a lot of folks today, if you listen, are crying out. A lot of folks are complaining. You know, it's my dog. It's my wife. It's my kid. It's the government. It's the boss. It's, you know, a lot of folks are crying out. But David cries out to the Lord. And I think I've heard sometimes people who pray, they say, "Oh, God, help me." Or other people pray, "You know all my problems, okay." I don't think that's what David did. I think the crying out was a little bit more affirmative of he just let his own heart rip. I remember my grandmother crying out when I was disobeying. And I was the guy that she was telling the Lord to help. Well, I mean, if you cry out, it's because you believe God's going to help you, and David did, but also because you know you're cooked. Daniel Henderson, pastor in Sacramento for many years at Arcade Baptist, says true prayer is born out of desperation. When I read the scriptures and I look at my family and I look at the situation of the church in France, and I cry out, I must, because God is so elevated and wants to do so much that I so much need his help that I cannot remain silent. And so David cried out. Veronique and I watched the other night a film on Hallmark Channel. It was about Bill W. Now, Bill W. was stone drunk for 17 years, and his wife, Lois, wanted him to die. As she said, "You don't even have the decency." So he'd made repeated promises, vain and failed promises, to change, do better, stop. Until one day, his fourth attempt, he comes back into a treatment center, and this time he had remembered what somebody told him, which he'd kind of shoved off before, and said, "God, if you're there, I don't know who you are, if you're even there and you can hear me, I'm ready to do anything, anything." Quote, "Suddenly, the room lit up with a great white light. I was caught up into an ecstasy which there are no words to describe. It seemed that a wind, not of air but of spirit, was blowing, and it burst upon me that I was a free man." Crying out to the one who can heal and help and lift and gives a shield around us and rest. And because he cried out, over 450,000 alcoholics in the U.S. and 88 groups around the world were started. Cry out. What will God do for you? And he stayed sober the rest of his life. There's a progression here. I cried out and he answered me. David knew. I cried out and the Lord sustains me. So he's in the battlefield and he goes to sleep. And the next day, this tremendous thousands and thousands of foot soldiers are going to attack him. And he goes to sleep. Because he's trusting in God. And he finds rest and his shield and the one who lifts him back up and who is strong enough. And then he says, arise, O Lord, save me and strike. Now, the enemy, he specifically says, strike the enemy on the mouth. It wasn't just his swords that were hurting him. It was also the fact that they were saying to his soul, you're already gone. You're condemned. And so David now is fighting back. Arise, O Lord. That's what Moses said in the desert when he had to lead the millions across the desert. Arise, O Lord, when the tabernacle and the cloud raised up. Arise, O Lord, and deliver us from our enemies. So David is a man of experience, but also a man of the word. And what he knew of the Lord, he put in practice. And now he's saying to him, arise. Now we've got lots of enemies who are already raising themselves up. The Lord is the one who is the lifter of his head. Arise, O Lord, let's go. David says. Now, the day of the battle, we get this very ironical solution, or to the end of this story, is that Absalom, who's coming at him with his beautiful, glorious hair, the donkey goes out from underneath him, and there's a low-hanging branch in an oak tree, and his wonderful, glorious hair gets snagged up in the branch. And the Bible says he's suspended there, lifted up. Arise, O Lord. My enemies are arising. And he ends up being suspended by his hair, which was his glory. And was going to lift him up. He was going to put that wonderful crown of the king on his wonderful head of hair. Many are rising up, but you, O Lord, are the lifter up of my head. And arise, O Lord. And the poor Absalom ended up lifted up by his wonderful hair. And I think in this ending, it's kind of an ironical end. Where's our glory? It's a word of saying, put your trust in God, not in other things. They can be your trick. They can be your trap. And God might see to it. Many are saying to my soul, there is no salvation for him. Arise, O Lord, save. He's fighting back. Dear brother and sister, let us fight with God's grace to ask him to rise up for you, to rise up for us. And to save, let's not listen to the no hope discourses. Salvation comes from the Lord, David says. That's not where it started. That's where it ended, though. in David's experience. And that's what God wants us to know in our deserts. Salvation comes, and it comes not from other sources. They can be our tricks. They can pull us under. They won't have the weight. They won't save us. But salvation comes from the Lord. If that is your experience, tell it to others who are still fighting battles and don't know, and just hearing the talk that there is no help and no hope. But if you've been through the desert and you know God, and He's risen up for you and lifted you back, tell it. Tell it to others. Because David comes back and he says, may your blessing be on your people. They're not his enemies. David is back and he's blessing. And people need to be blessed. So if you know of God's goodness and that He's risen up for you and you found rest in His shield and a glory in Him, it's good news. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the Lord Jesus, who so loved the world as it is. He became sin in our place that we might become your sons and daughters, cherished and loved, and that for eternity. Oh, help us. Strengthen the dear brothers and sisters, each one of them, as they are in their battles or their struggles. Help each one to know the peace. Happy, blessed is the person whose sins are forgiven. And if the floods come against us, grant each one here the grace to know that you and you are the one who raises up. You are the one who is a shield. You are the one who gives salvation. And this we pray in Jesus' name, because He so loved us, each one, and those around us, that He died and rose and from the dead and also to heaven, so that we might live eternally with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Well, we're going to celebrate communion in Amen. I'll hail the King of Heaven, and I hail our King today for our awesome percussion. Thank you, Nate. Receive the benediction. Christian, you do have many foes. You do have many things that you are reasonable to fear. And yet you are united to and overseen by and loved by and listened to in all your crying by a risen sovereign King. He is sovereign over every atom in existence. If there is one particle of this universe that is outside of His sovereign control, then He is not God. But He is, and He is your God, your Father, your Savior. So go resting in that. Go home and nap. Really, resting that you are the child of that God. Amen. Go in peace.